This is February 18th, 2018, and the title of this message is Begotten by Truth. Begotten by Truth. And there is a revelation in here that is phenomenal, and whether it'll come out properly in the message or not, I don't know, but just the title itself gives us a clue as to the makeup and the plan of God, the will of God. I want to read a scripture setting, and this hit me. Now, I've read this scripture, I don't know how many times, but it really hit me the other day when I was reading it. And it says, this is in Romans 1:20, and just the one scripture, basically. It says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world. Okay, let's just stop with that much. The invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that men are without excuse. And I got thinking about that, and anyway, the world will scoff at the idea, and they'll ridicule the whole scripture that I just read. But as far as God is concerned, the invisible things of creation that God has made are clearly seen and understood by the things that are made, by the things that we see around us. Even the eternal power and Godhead are understood by the things that are seen. You know what? That I understand that. Of course, what other explanation do we have? There is no explanation. There is nothing that explains the things that exist around us. Nothing. So the invisible things from Him, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen. That's strange wording. They are clearly seen, but you don't see these things, and yet they are. They're clearly seen by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that men are without excuse. They said, Philip said to Jesus, he said, show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And Jesus makes this strange statement, which is understood and explained in the next verse, in verse 10. Chuck, come here and help me get this off. And anyway, in John 14:9 and in John 14:10, so Jesus explains again. He said the things that are that he said that he that has seen me has seen the Father. And then in verse 10, he explains what he means. He says, "You see the Father by the things that you see me do." Are you following what I'm saying? So men are without excuse. As far as there is no explanation of the awesome things that exist except Him. He is the explanation. And so things are clearly seen just by the things that we see that are made around us. And you know what? Through faith we understand that the worlds were created, that the worlds were formed by the Word of God. Through faith we understand that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it the elders obtain a good report. Without that faith, it is impossible to please God. And so, anyway, and then Hebrews, in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, I read that this morning, it says that Christ as a high priest, He ever lives to make intercession for us. So he is now the great high priest and lives and reigns forever to make intercession for us. So anyway, begotten by truth, James 1:18 is where that is found. And no matter how unpopular the things that I'm about to say may make me, the truth is that without an absolute love for the truth, men cannot be saved. And as such, the very nature of the modern unity through diversity theory is in direct opposite or in direct contrast to receiving a love for God's truth. It is the opposite of it. Jude refers to a divided church structure in Jude verse 19. And because they trust their own senses, which means their logic, their feelings, their theories. You know, and I remember somebody one time says, you know, I get the vibes whenever I'm around somebody that has a demon. And it's like, they may get their vibes too, you know. And so rather than allow the Holy Spirit to sanctify them, or to unify them in of truth, and that's what it says. It says they are without the Spirit. Jude says they're divided. And separated is the word he used, which is the same thing. And using their own senses, and they're without the Spirit. See, all mankind to a knowledge of the truth and the right understanding in 1 Timothy 2:5 of the Godhead is a foundation for unity. That verse that we have up in the wall behind me is actually a foundation for unity. And the very idea of unity through diversity is stupid. Unity would mean to speak the same things, which would happen when and if the Holy Spirit of all truth was allowed to bring all truth into an assembly. And I was thinking the other day, it was a mercy of God that allowed us to call our church what's the name of our church?
Zion Christian Fellowship?
Yes, Zion Christian Fellowship. I had it right on the tip of my tongue, but I couldn't say it. But anyway, that is our name. And I like it, the idea that we call ourselves a fellowship rather than a church. Because I got so tired of church. And, you know, tired of the things that we stood for as a church. And so, unity would mean that people would speak the same thing, which would happen when and if the Holy Spirit was allowed to bring all truth into an assembly. Which Jude in verse 19 said that the unity through diversity did not have the Holy Spirit. That's what it says. Not having the Holy Spirit. Jude verse 19. And since today's churches are hopelessly divided over doctrine. Remember, I can't remember the song, but Joanna used to sing a song, Divided Over Doctrine. And I never thought that much about it, but that, you know what, they are divided, hopelessly divided over doctrine, and nobody wants to give up their doctrine. Nobody wants to go after truth. Nobody wants to look any further. As a matter of fact, I was right in the same area myself, so I understand, you know, the dilemma that faces a lot of people. We have the truth. It's a good thing to know that we have the truth. And Community Chapel, we had the truth. Why do you look anyplace else? Until a voice spoke and said, if you want to find me, you got to look. And I realized, I've been looking in the wrong places. If I want truth and reality, I've been looking in the wrong places. This is not where I've been looking. And so, it should be pretty obvious that the Holy Spirit never led churches into the diversity of the doctrines that they're in. It's pretty obvious. And yet, church after church claims that the Spirit of God led them into what they believe. And because of pride, men are not able to question the unproven inherited doctrines. Isn't that it? You can't question the unproven inherited doctrines. Well, you can't prove the Trinity from the Scriptures, but if you don't believe in the Trinity, wait a minute, we got the problem somewhere. And so, as little children, willingly we have to receive a love for the truth. And when Matthew 7:14 tells us that few there be that find it, and that's what it says. The reason is because the devil somehow has robbed the truth value out of people's lives. And when Jesus told us in John 17:17 that God's truth is a basis for sanctification, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Now, we got to figure out what are we talking about. And so, it made the road to God very straight and very narrow. And when Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first, and this means above everything else, if you're going to seek something first, you seek it, number one, above everything else, the kingdom of God and God's ways of righteousness, is that not kind of straight and narrow? And the thing that separates God's word from all other books. See, the thing that separates God's word from all other books is the fact that we are not left with other options. And I noticed that somebody mentioned that when I was bringing some of the messages, this was a few years ago, that with authority. Yeah. And see, God's word is with authority. It has authority. And so if you stick with the word, you're going to stick with authority. They said, how did this man, he's never learned, how did this man who was, unlearned like the Pharisees and so forth, how does he say these things that are so profound? And they, no matter what they asked him, he had an answer. See, the Bible does not say, it would be nice if you did this or that. There are no scriptures that say that. It says, if you do this, or if you do that, or unless you do this, or except you do that, or whatever. And I begin to notice those things. The Spirit somehow pointed them out to me. The whole tenor of God's word is like, this if you will do such and such, and then God will. Well, anyway, there are no other books like that. I read the book, which really had an impact on my life by Dave Wilkerson, The Cross and Switchblade. At the same time, there were some some pretty bad theological conclusions that he had. See, God will do what he has promised to do. And God has promised a blessing, and you know what? We have it as a church, upon those who delight in his word above all other words. And I have gotten to the place, I can understand a little bit about Smith Wigglesworth, because he came to the place, and somehow he saw, I believe the man was a Trinitarian, but I don't know that for sure. But somehow he saw that God's word was separated and above all else, and he delighted in it, and he wouldn't allow anything else in his house except God's word. And so God said that he would bless in Psalms 1:1-3, whose delight is upon his word, where he would bless those people and those who meditate or think about his words day and night. Cause them to prosper. And the prosper part, now, can God make things happen like that? Of course he can. I'm not sure of how, but I do know that the ungodly or the unfolding revelations that keep coming from God's word are priceless. The things that keep coming to me are priceless. The things that keep coming to you, they're priceless. They're vital, valuable. And in fact, the James 1:18 revelation of God begetting us, that was strange the way that is worded in John 1:18. That when Glenn read that this morning out of the New American Standard, that's strange. The only begotten God. It doesn't make sense. How are you going to have a begotten God? Anyway, and it says underneath, it says that some some of the manuscripts say the only begotten Son. Well, they all say it that we're in the beginning. And so since the Holy Spirit compares spiritual with spiritual, then 1 Peter 1:23 becomes a part of what we are told in James 1:18. In Peter, we are told that we are born again. Isn't that the kind of the same as begotten? Isn't it kind of in the same category as begotten? We are born again by the incorruptible Word. Does that not mean God's Word that had been corrupted, has not been corrupted through private interpretations and powerless inherited doctrines or wormy manna? That's what it means. So we are born again by God's Word of truth. As these words begin to change our faith value of God's Word, we begin to understand the value that God has placed upon truth, to the point that unless we allow God to place a genuine love for His truth within us and become willing to allow the Holy Spirit to use God's Word of truth so as to compare what we have grown up with to what God actually meant by what He said, we may lose our souls. Did I say that too fast? Huh? And we have to become willing to allow the Holy Spirit to use God's Word of truth so He can compare what we have grown up with, the doctrines that we inherited, with what God actually meant by what He said. And if we don't allow this to happen, we may lose our souls. Now, I may not be very popular for what I am about to say. However, for the most part, most churches are a dangerous place to be at. That don't make me popular. But most churches, it is dangerous to be a part of the church for your soul's sake. Men run into the church as a place of refuge. Remember the cities of refuge that they used to have for people that were killers, murderers, or whatever. And they could go into those places of refuge and be protected. Not realize, it's kind of like some of the cities that we have in America even at this point, where they have these the governors and the leaders of the city protect the crooks. And this is the thing, what do you do about it? There's a protection on them. And you know why I think that we have that kind of a situation? I think maybe they're getting paid off. When I first started, I was about 15 or 16, I worked for a man that was a retired policeman out of Chicago. I won't give his name for sake of or anything. But anyway, by accident, I discovered that he had been a part, not really in the mafia or anything, but he was a part of the organization, so that he walked the wrong beat. He stayed out of the way whenever the crooks wanted to rob a bank, and he stayed someplace else, and he got paid for it. And he paid for a resort out of those things. I found this out by accident, and I was afraid to tell anybody. I was afraid for my life after I found it out. So the doctrines within most churches prevent men from going after the truth as God has proclaimed it. Why? Well, you don't stand up. Could you stand up to the doctrines within Community Chapel? I'll tell you what, you could stand up to them, but that meant that you'd be asked to leave. Because there was not an openness to understand it. And since the devil still walks to and fro upon the earth, like in the days of Job, he deceives whosoever he is able to deceive, you know, like it says in 1 Peter 5:8, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. Does he still do it? Of course he does it. I felt his power or his something over there tonight for a while. Right now I don't, but I did for a while. He seeks about to, and then this church, this setting is a precious setting, and we need to understand it. Because it says that after we have suffered a while, I don't have it down in my notes, but it says after we have suffered a while, that God will, you know, but He allows us to go through things. That God will strengthen us and settle us and settle us. There's three or four things. I said a couple of them. The point is that the churches are not off limits to demonic forces, and we thought that they were. I was dumbfounded when I discovered that when deliverance came to this church, that we were the ones that needed deliverance. I was dumbfounded to realize that I needed some deliverances. And not only that, but so that the devil is attracted to the churches like bees are attracted to honey. And since 2 Corinthians 11:15 tells us that the devil sends out his own ministers, who are ministers who appear as ministers of righteousness, where do you suppose they operate? You don't see a sign out there that says the devil's ministers are over this church. But if churches embrace false doctrine that are really, really off base, is that not a good indication that the devil has his ministers over it? And what about the Pharisees? Who would have guessed that they were of their father the devil? Was Jesus right? He only spoke what the Father told him to speak. Was he right? God looked at these Pharisees and said, these boys and girls are of the devil. I don't know about girls, but boys. And so, they're probably operating in churches all around us. And then you know what Paul said? Their end will be according to their works. Well, I'm afraid that since there is only a few that find it, that very likely the imposters are a lot more than the real. There's a lot more imposters than the real. And in fact, since the love of the truth is a God-given requirement for salvation, then where do those stand who insist that their false doctrine is the truth and will even ignore God's word of truth as they try desperately to prove their doctrine, which is a lie? See, most men apparently don't believe John 17:17, where it tells us that God's word is the truth. You know, I don't know why it is, but I was asked a question, and the minister was right. It was given a Bible study, and he said, is God's word, or is this word, is it, does it is this God's word, or does it contain God's word? And like a dummy, I said, it contains it. It doesn't. It is God's word. And see, by containing it means that it's an open book, and we can decide what part we want to believe. And but anyway, John 17:17 tells us that God's truth is God's word. See, the Trinitarian leaders tell us that even though the Trinity is true, they cannot prove it by the Word of God. If men can't prove what they teach by the Word of God, then they worship God in vain. And since faith only comes by the Word of God, then there is no way they will ever develop faith. And so, is it any wonder that the prophecy of Jude is so widespread today? Men hopelessly separated by false doctrines as they ignore the God-given Holy Spirit of truth that could and would lead them into all of God, or into God's thoughts, that would bring unity through the truth of God's word. Well, one day men will just stand in awe as all of their quote great books are burned up, and the word of God stands alone in the fire, like the three Hebrew children that the fire could not burn. Remember the story of the three Hebrew children? And The Bible says that all of these things are going to be dissolved and destroyed except God's word of truth. See, the great books of men are filled with what men see as the truth, like Pilate. But God sees as things that his real people need to stay away from, to avoid. It tells us in 1 Timothy 6, right towards the end of the chapter, it tells us, it says about science, falsely so-called. And you know what it says? See, science is knowledge that we conclude or that we see by eyesight. What's the word I want? That by observation. Science is knowledge by observation. I didn't know that's what the dictionary says. And so, anyway, it says, science falsely so-called, and it says avoided. It says avoided. Look it up. And the reason is because they write what they think they see, and they... Well, as I said, science falsely so-called. However, in Romans 1:22 says about them, it says, professing themselves to be wise, they become as fools. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, we are told that God has chosen the foolish things of the world so as to confound the wise, the weak things of the world to confound the mighty. And then in verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And I'm starting to understand that. I'm starting to understand the weakness of my own flesh. See, the vast majority of all men are exactly like Pilate was. And since they don't really know, they don't know God, or the fact that God created all things, which even includes them. I mean, God created them and they don't even know it. They wander around hopelessly trying to find that which they never, ever will find. And rather than admit that all roads lead towards God, they explore all or any road that they could possibly find to leave God out of the picture. And so that shows the work of the devil. See, well, it has to be, it can't be God. It's like when Jerome was healed that time. And the doctor said, well, what do you think happened? I mean, the doctor's asking him, what do you think happened? And he said, well, I know, God healed me. He said, I can't buy that. And it's like, well, you see a miracle here. You know it's impossible to have a double kidney transplant. And yet, he's got two brand new kidneys. What's your explanation? Well, I don't have an explanation, but I can't believe it's God. So anyway, that the evidence of the existence of God has become so overwhelming to me so that I am dumbfounded by those who in any way try to discount God and leave him out of the picture. And as such, to finally begin to see the value that God has placed upon truth is awesome. This is an awesome, awesome experience that we are coming into. See, truth is so valuable to God, so that in and of his will, he is going to beget a people of his word of truth. You know what that tells me? That explains some things that I saw in that dream I had 50 years ago. I saw people that were caught up, that were out in a field. They weren't in a church. They weren't in this church. They weren't in any church. They were stood in a field. And we can say, well, I don't know that that's going to happen. Well, you know what? After it happens, we can say, yeah, I believe it's going to happen. Up until that point, we don't really know. We can only speculate. See, truth is so valuable to God, so that in and of his will, he is going to beget a people of his word of truth. to the point that the people would become a kind of the first fruits of all of His creation. That is what it says. I think that says it right in James 1:18, doesn't it? That we will become a kind of a first fruits of all of His creation. Is that what it says in James 1:18? And God is such a stickler for the truth issue, so that those who refuse to receive a love for God's truth puts their very salvation in jeopardy. Is that what it says?
First fruit of His creatures.
Okay. The first fruit of His creatures. Or as first fruits of His creatures. And so, when men avoid the truth issue, they put their very salvation in jeopardy. And so to even consider the fact that God might be okay with diversity is absurd. There's not anything in the scriptures that tell us that God is okay with diversity. God is determined on unity through truth. And since God brought forth a son who was both born and sent to bear witness to the truth, how does that fit with the only begotten God? Born and sent to bear witness to the truth. We have to be taking some strange liberties to put that word in there. Then he gave men the Holy Spirit, who was to guide men into all truth. You notice it says guide. I have quoted it as saying lead. And it does, in a sense, say lead, but the thing that he says here is guide. He will guide men into all truth. And so what happens when you read the scriptures, do you understand what I'm saying? We are guided into truth. We are slowly guided by the Holy Spirit. It should be pretty obvious to all men that God is out to produce a people of all truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth. And of course, the truth, as God reveals it, and not as the devil deceives men into thinking. The devil has his version of truth, which is a lie. And we have to realize that. See, there is really only one truth. And that is how the Creator of all things sees it. However God sees it. And that's why it took me a while to understand that the Bible is a Bible of truth. See, sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. The Bible is a word of truth. As God spoke to the fathers through the prophets, and in these last days has spoken to us through His Son, what we have in the Bible is truth. Now, men have done some numbers on their different translations, and even like the New American Standard. Trinitarians, apparently, are the ones that helped to do the last translation. And so they have put their own doctrine ideas into the translation. That does not change the verse around behind me that is the same in all translations. And so men should... Somehow they should begin to realize that, and of course you know what it does, and Glenn said it today, you know, it messes you up. It does mess you up. But it doesn't have to. If men refuse to believe in God, then they are forced to look for truth wherever it sounds the best to them. Truth. All truth. I want the truth. And so they look in Eastern religions and they spend time in meditation and they sit around and what are some of these things they do? You know what I mean? And of course, those in authority over the churches try to convince those under them that they have the truth in the organization. I was in one and I can remember that. And as such, church organizations develop with men who take authority over each organization And the devil convinces those in a leadership that their mindsets are the truth. What they believe is the truth. I've shared this a couple of times, but I was in a meeting with some pastors, and I don't remember why anymore. And there was a fellow that I could tell was a leader, older fellow, and he's kind of the leader. And I remember him making a statement. He said, "Well, I think," and you know what I thought? As I listened to him, I thought, I am hearing the Word of God. I am hearing what God thinks, as God sees it. So sometimes millions of people hear the same deceptions over and over until they become convinced that their organization is the only one with the truth. And is that kind of not what happened to us? See, when Paul was confronted by Jesus, as Paul was on his way to Damascus, and Jesus asked Paul in Acts 9:5, "It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks or the goads." And what that meant is, back in those days, they sharpened a stick, a pointed stick, and they would herd their animals by poking them with that short pointed stick. And the cows didn't want to be pointed, so they'd go wherever they pointed them. And so that's what he was meaning. And so, which shows that the stoning of Stephen, which was okayed by Paul, and other things that Paul saw were working somewhere within Paul, but he kept resisting what he was beginning to suspect. I think he was already suspecting that. Lord, who are you? Who are you? And who knows how many there are that suspect that their organization is not really that accurate, but are afraid to look elsewhere because of their forceful leaders. Remember, there were many Jewish leaders that suspected that Jesus really was the Messiah. It tells us that. But they were afraid to confess Christ because of the more forceful leaders and because of the Pharisees. And because of what God has done in this church over the years and what is happening within a handful right now, I wonder how many around us are wondering if maybe I did hear a voice. Maybe I did. I mean, most people by now know that. Maybe I really did hear a voice that caused me to begin to hear the scriptures. There's a chance I did. Look at all the other things that have happened in this church. See, the Israelites that left Egypt were in the desert for 40 years. What are the chances? They sat out in the desert for 40 years with no help except from God. And the nations gathered around, there were about 5 nations or 7 nations. They knew that the God of Israel was a God to be reckoned with. And we know that by Rahab the harlot. They knew that the God of Israel was going to destroy all of those nations at some point. And we know that, see? And then, so when we read in Joshua, I was going to read it, maybe I won't. Joshua, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 through 15. See, if God wants to raise up truth as a standard or a banner over his real church, he will separate the real from the false in men's eyes. By the mercy of God, I am being given a real childlike love for God's truth as God's word proclaims it. I want to know, and I know where to find it. I want to know the truth, I know where to find it. I want to know the truth, and I know where to find it. There's not a lot of people that can say that. But I do. In 2 Thessalonians 2:10, in 1 Timothy 2:4, and other places, we see that God's will is for all men to somehow come to the knowledge of the truth. That's up there in the banner right behind me. His will is to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is to come to the knowledge of the truth. His will is to come to the knowledge of the truth. And as such, my question is then, where exactly does diversity fit into this picture? If that's God's will. Unity through diversity would suggest that God is okay with doctrinal diversity. We don't see any scriptures that suggest that. In Ephesians 4:14, says we are to no longer be carried about with a diversity of doctrines. I mean, I said diversity of doctrines. That's not exactly what it says, but that's what it means. With endless, hopeless doctrines, whereas men or demons lie in wait to deceive men. But in verse 15 it says, but speak the truth, God's word of truth, in love, and I added God's word of truth, speak the truth in love, so that we are able to grow up into Christ in all things, who is the head over the body. See, the big battle over the word of God is the truth issue. That's the truth, that's the issue of what God did. What did God actually mean by what he said? And I think that is one of the things that we have to individually deal with. And so since no man actually knows the truth of God in 1 Corinthians 2:11, then God gave men his Holy Spirit to reveal to men what God actually meant in and of his word. What did God mean? Well, I tell you what. Since no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, I will send him to you, and he will slowly begin to reveal what I meant by what I said. However, there is an angel of light who tries to impersonate the God-given Holy Spirit of all truth. And that's why we need the gift of spiritual discernment. We need that. Desperately, and who looks for natural-minded, gullible people without God-given spiritual discernment. He looks for those people. And he begins to put within their minds deceptive interpretations of God's word through private interpretations. And who knows what? Just he puts these things in people's minds. And men buy the devil's deceptions, and they start new churches. And of course, that could be where some of the devil's ministers of righteousness end up. If they start churches based upon false doctrines, that would be a good place to put one of his ministers in, wouldn't it? And especially when ministers today, a lot of them, will only take positions within a church because if they get paid enough. The Pharisees never ever entertained the thought that they could possibly be of their father the devil. And so today, we are told that many false prophets will arise. Where? And exactly where will they operate? In the churches? Where else would they be? Where else would a false prophet show up? If someone were to tell them that they are false prophets and therefore of the devil, they would rise up just like the Pharisees did and accuse God's real people of being of the devil themselves. They do the same thing. And Jesus said that when men accuse the Holy Spirit of being the devil, this is in Mark 3:29-30, They are in danger of eternal damnation or the unpardonable sin. Remember we talked about the unpardonable sin? You know, it says that that's what we're talking about. It's when men accuse the work of God of being of the devil. God put his own words in his son's mouth. And Jesus said, I do always speak what the Father tells me to say. And so then who labeled the Pharisees as being of the devil? And in Matthew 10:40 and Mark 9:37 and Luke 9:48, Jesus said, those who receive me receive the one who sent me. Those who receive me receive the one who sent me. And so when John 1:11 says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who is being referred to? He came unto his own. Just Christ? Or the Father? Or both? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And since God sent him, and he was the express image of the invisible God, then him, God himself was not being received. Right? I was thinking one morning that in 1 Timothy 6:20, we are told to avoid vain babbling and vain things and vain babbling. I'm not sure what it says. And especially the opposition of science, falsely so called. We are to avoid it. We are to avoid it. Don't entertain it. And of course, like I said, science means the knowledge gained through natural observation. However, the kingdom of God that we are to all seek first the kingdom of God, does not come in and of natural observation, but it comes without observation, and somehow it develops within men. And since what is happening in us, and I can hear it, I can see it, just a handful, just a few people, but God's not through. He's not through. We could be through, but he's not through. And somehow, it develops within men. And since the new covenant or the will of God, so as to write his words in the minds and upon the hearts of his creation, is that not being begotten by God's word of truth? Is that not being begotten? You know what's happening to me? These words are beginning to become life in there. I don't want something else. So what is going to happen? What's going to happen to you, Ken? What's going to happen as this word... You know what the Bible says in the book of Acts? The word grew and multiplied. How does the word grow? It grew in people. The word was the same forever and ever. It's unchangeable. So the word didn't grow. It grew in people. What is the word doing with us? It is growing in us. It is growing inside of me. Let's face it. Even though the Hebrews 8:10 and 10:16 covenant is available, it's available to all men, I think that only the few there be that find it are the ones who are willing to allow God to write his word in their minds and in their hearts. Now, there's no way to know this, know what I'm about to say here for sure. However, I think that the voice that I heard was intended by God for me so as to start writing his eternal word upon my mind and within my heart. I think that's what this was happening. I mean, I didn't understand that. I didn't know that. I didn't know it until now. We're just starting to understand. See, the awesome word of God of truth, or God's word of truth, has started something deep within me that I don't want to ever lose. I don't want to lose this thing. I used to think that I loved God's word. I used to think I did. I really love it. I love his word. I really love his word. But I tell you something. Never, ever did I love it like this. It never, ever was part of me like it is now. And so when Psalms 1:2 begins by saying, but his delight, you know, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law or in the word of God, and which is evidenced by the rest of verse 2. How do you know that his delight is in the word of God? The rest of the verse, verse 2. I'm pushing on your memory as best I can. What's the rest of verse 2? That's the evidence. You know then that that has taken its rightful position. When you meditate on it day and night, that's what you do. That's what I'm doing. And so, see, the parable of the sower was one of the mysteries of God's kingdom. It says, a mystery. It was a mystery. And in Luke 8:8, we see the word of God falling on fertile soil. And it did what the other soils were not able to do. However, God's will is that all soil should be fertile. And as such, somehow, my heart is the most receptive for God's word that it has ever been. And I rejoice inside of me at the fact that there are others close to me with the same soil. God has created some soil in us that is hungry for the truth of God's word. However, with or without others, we are individually workers together with the Lord. And so, if I gave up ship and quit, and everybody else did except you, you go it alone. If you guys give up, I stand alone. You know what I mean? We're still workers together with God. And this is not widely taught in the churches. People don't see it as such. Well, we're together in this thing. Well, you know what? We're together in the Lord, but we're not together apart from Him. He didn't send us out to do His work. He joined us. And once I understood that, you know what? I didn't last night, but a lot of nights at 4 o'clock in the morning, the Spirit of the Lord has come on me, and I sat there and I just shook. And we used to have those sessions. Remember, we used to have time where we just vibrated with the presence of the Lord. Well, anyway, I used to wonder what it was, but I know it's not the devil.